I'm here at Fringe Central on day, I think, minus three, it must be, with Richard Stamp. And Richard wears many hats at the Fringe, but today I'm going to ask him to wear his hat as the inventor, creator of iFringe, which is an app that has been in existence for quite a few years at the Fringe. But Richard, first I want to take you back to 1999, which was my first year at the Fringe. And in those days, and I can remember, there were websites. I can remember looking up reviews of my show on websites, but that involved going to a desktop PC if you could find one. So even then, websites and online wasn't the dominant thing at the Fringe at all, and things have really changed. So could you kind of map your view of how things have changed for the better or worse into this world now of mobile and apps?
Well, I go back just slightly further than you, Paul. I go back to 1996, which actually was the first year that 3 Weeks published at the Fringe. So it was a time of change. And what I remember from then was that there was one very dominant newspaper, The Scotsman, and a fair amount of national coverage as well. And if a show got a 5-star review in The Scotsman, then its whole run would sell out straight away. But the negative side of that is that if it got a bad review in The Scotsman or just didn't get coverage at all, then it didn't get any attention and it would be playing to empty houses. So I think what's happened since then is a growth in the diversity of opinion that you can find about shows at the Fringe. A lot of that's online. There are more magazines as well. 3 Weeks is just one example. And I think that's a very positive thing. This is a Fringe festival. It's an open access arts festival. And it's quite right that there should be this kind of clamour of opinion. There should be no single arbiter, however reliable that arbiter might be. But, of course, the trouble with that is that then you have so much to sift through, and that's where I hope that that iFringe and other review aggregators, as they're called, can help.
And then in that journey, I can remember my first laptop, and so that was easy because I could take a laptop out with woefully little battery to try and find a Wi-Fi place. And then I had, what was it? It was a T-Mobile PDA that still didn't have apps on it, so you kind of squinted to try and get your mobile browser. But then the phones came and apps came, and then you had the opportunity to, you know, join a new ecosystem that had not existed before, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have a Palm Pilot, and I don't know how many people listening to this will remember that. It's astonishing how quickly things have changed within the past few years, and we always say that, but I think this is genuinely a time of huge change. The inspiration for us came when we realised that people nowadays were carrying around these little computers in their pockets, because that's what iPhones, even the original iPhone, really was. And Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Fringe, or Fringe festivals in general, is such a perfect environment for that, because everybody is away from home. And even if you've got your laptop and you've got Wi-Fi, it's much more convenient to look at your phone when you're on the move.
So two perspectives I want to explore here. First, the theatre maker. So, I mean, I guess one thing that, you know, you can do as an app maker is you can just replicate whatever you're doing, you know, online or on paper onto an app. Or there's something apps do uniquely in their own right. So from a theatre maker's point of view, how am I going to make use of the app world?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure that you necessarily should, I'll say that, as actually part of your theatre piece. A lot of people have seen that apps exist now and that they're very trendy and that they've done something to try to build an app around their performance. But I can't actually think of a single example of that where it's really worked very much. And unless you happen to have the development skills yourself, it will be an expensive thing to have an app put together for your show. So I would just caution about that. Now, there have been some pieces which, rather than the app just being something that's an add-on or like an extra gimmick, the app's actually been integral to the piece itself. There was one at the Brighton Fringe last year called Performer, which got a lot of attention. And again, I mean, the technology can be challenging, but just like, I suppose, when projection suddenly became affordable for theatre companies in general, which would have been, what, 8-9 years ago, all of a sudden people started to explore creative opportunities around that. There's a chance to do that now with apps and phones as well.
But in terms of, say, also my press and publicity, I guess, what do I need to think of in terms of, well, I'm choosing images and I'm choosing video and I'm choosing words? And yeah, so I guess most companies are aware they need to make that mobile friendly. But what do you have to do to imagine that content on apps that you're going to pick the content up from?
Well, there's an expression nowadays that's used a lot in the tech industry or the content industry, which is mobile first. And that is reflecting the fact that very soon, more people will be looking at content, web pages, on their phones than on desktop computers. So you really should be looking at it that way round. And if you've got an iPhone or got an Android phone or a Windows mobile, whatever you've got, you need to be looking at your own web pages with that phone almost more than you look at them with your PC. And as long as you're doing that, and as long as what you're seeing is working well for you and is legible and works technically, then you're going to be doing the right thing to reach out to people like us as well. Mm. The one thing that I think most people get wrong, particularly when they're sending in artwork, so images to be published on mobile platforms, is to underestimate how small everything is. So you can't get away with just shrinking down your flyer, your A6 flyer, and displaying it on a mobile phone, because you won't be able to read the writing. So as I say, mobile first, everything needs to be designed with phones in mind.
So that's interesting, because when I apply for the Fringe and Register and they ask me for an image, what you're suggesting is I've got to imagine not just it appearing, you know, on the Fringe website and in the programme, but, you know, what's it going to look like? Not only even rendered on a mobile browser, but on an app like iFringe.
Well, that example actually is quite an interesting one, because that image is already going to be shrunk down very, very, very small to go in the Fringe program. And some people do that right and, you know, understand that, and some people do it wrong and it looks bad in print. So that's a really interesting point, Paul. I mean, you're highlighting there that this isn't a completely new problem, but it's something that is becoming more and more obvious as mobile platforms develop.
As we come towards perhaps talking about iFringe, I know one or two venues have tried to create their own apps, and there is the Fringe app up here, like there is one or two other Fringes. But I thought at one point there was going to be an explosion of apps, and there hasn't been. Why do you think there hasn't been?
Because they're expensive. Developing a quality app is a long task. And I think that when the explosion happened, there were a lot of companies, and there still are a lot of companies, which put out what in the industry we call cookie cutter apps. So you're not getting something which is designed for you. You're getting something which has a standard design, and they'll put your own logos on it and put your own bits and pieces in it. And as many people have discovered, although that's an appealing solution, and it can be very cost effective and it can work for you, for something as specific as a Fringe festival or a Fringe venue or even a Fringe show, you're limited in what you're going to achieve that way. What I will just say actually is I think that the Edinburgh Fringe's official app is a great example of how to do it right. So they do something different from us. We're all about reviews. They're about the listings and the ticket sales. And they started working with that about 5 years ago, I think. And over those 5 years, they've really stayed committed to that. And they've built it into something which I use myself to book my own tickets. So it can, you know, it can succeed, but it's not something that you can just pick up off the shelf.
So, well, I'm glad to hear you talking positively, because that makes this question easier. Because now we go on to the second perspective, which is the punter, the Fringe visitor, and they've got a smartphone. It could be an Android. It could be perhaps we won't mention BlackBerry, but maybe it's a BlackBerry. It could be an iPhone, and they're a bit confused. I mean, should they download all the apps? There are taxi apps, there are maps, there's going to be guides, then there's iFringe, and there's the Fringe app, and there's the mobile browsers. You know, how are they going to have a good user experience, as it's sometimes called, and not get into information overload or app overload?
Well, I love using apps. Whenever I go to a foreign country or another city, I always download half a dozen. But I always find that there's only one or two that I end up using. And some people listening to this will be like that. And they'll be very experienced and knowledgeable in dealing with that issue. For people who are dipping their toes into the water, I mean, obviously I'm going to say that you should download iFringe, because that's our own app. And what that one does is it brings together reviews and features and content from six independent Fringe websites. It doesn't try to be completist. It does give you the full Fringe programme, but it also tries to select particular highlights which are going to be of interest to you. The second one that you should definitely download is the Fringe's official app, which is almost the opposite of that. It's like the Fringe programme, so it has everything in it. It's very comprehensive. It doesn't favour or promote any particular shows because the Fringe is completely neutral that way. And sometimes that's what you want. It's great for looking up the details of a show, and it's a really good way to buy your tickets. That's the way that I get tickets all the time these days. Other apps that you might get for Edinburgh, you mentioned taxi apps. There's one called Get, G-T-T, which I use myself, which I think is probably the best of the ones available. I think that's what you need for a decent fringe experience. You will be bombarded when you're here, of course, with lots of information about other apps that are available. They're almost all free, so why not download them and give them a try?
And finally, just to end on a bit of futuring here. So is my version of iFringe in 10 years' time going to be augmented reality using whatever version of Google Glass? Or, you know, what how do you see the future apps at the Fringe?
It would be madness for me to try to answer that question, because 10 years ago I couldn't have imagined that the iPhone was going to exist even, still less that we'd be where we are now. I think the role for iFringe is quite a specific one. We've shied away from doing too much in the way of videos, for example, because what we're trying to do is to make recommendations and give people crisp and focused reviews. So I don't really see iFringe having augmented reality and all that kind of stuff in 10 years' time. But without a doubt, there'll be something that we haven't thought about that will have come along and disrupted everything. That's the way life is now.
Richard and iFringe. And you can download that at ifringe.com, is that right? Thanks very much.